Gotta start. Say, gotta start. Gotta finish. We gotta start this year. We start a lot of things in the new year, don't we? And a lot of times we start things, but we don't finish them. And so the goal, as we look at this new year, we're gonna start. And there's some things that we're going to start as a church, and we want to see them all the way through until the end of the year, and we want to finish it through. But for the purpose of this morning, we're just going to focus on the first part of the theme of got to start, okay? Because if you're going to ever do anything, you have to start. You just got to start, all right? So if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, and we'll be in Ezra chapter 7. Now, since we're going to be in the New Testament for the next 16 weeks as we read through it, I thought I would preach one sermon in the Old Testament before we go through the New Testament. So we're going to be in Ezra chapter 7, starting with verse 1. Now after this, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Zerah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shallum, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Merath, son of Zerah, the son of Uzziah, son of Bukkai, son of Abishua, son of Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra went up from Babylonia. He was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses that the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. And the king granted him all that he asked, for the hand of the Lord his God was on him. And there went up also to Jerusalem in the 70 year of Artaxerxes, the king, some of the people of Israel, and some of the priests and Levites and singers and gatekeepers and the temple servants. And Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For on the first day of the first month, he began to go up from Babylonia. And on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem, for the good hand of his God was on him. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for your word. We're thankful for your truth. And today we come to worship you. I ask, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. Father, stir in us the desire as we start this new year, that we would start at seeking you, God, with all of our heart, and that we would hear from you, that we would speak to you, that we would walk with you, and that we would share your good news with others. So, God, I pray that you would move in our heart today, Lord. Help me to preach plain and clear today, God. I do understand that there is a judgment on my life in rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So y'all got a green dot. We're going to use that green dot. That's going to be like your little note card. It's going to be something that you can use to set as some goals for your life. And so hang on to that as we go through it. We'll talk more about it. Because the theme is got to start. Now, I don't know if any of you all used to play arcade games when you were little. How many of y'all used to play arcade games? Now, after church on Sundays, when I was growing up as a kid, we would go many times to Mr. Gaddy's. Anybody know Mr. Gaddy's? Mr. Gaddy's. You know, growing up, Sundays was about the only day we would go out to eat. You know, we'd eat home all week long, but Sundays, that was the day we might go out to eat. And Mr. Gaddy's, I loved going to Mr. Gaddy's, one, because of their pizza. I loved eating their pizza. I loved their Italian sausage, best Italian sausage. I'm getting hungry already thinking about it. And plus, they had pieces where they would cut that would be real little. Some of them would be real tiny, and some of them would be big because they didn't cut them always. It was a buffet, right? And me and my cousins, we would go and eat there, and our goal was to see how many pieces of pizza we could eat. How many of y'all have ever had that challenge, right? How many pieces of pizza we could eat, and we'd grab the little ones because we'd count it as one, right? And we wouldn't eat the end, the crust. We called them the bones, and we would save them. And we would pile them up in the middle, right? And we would see how big of a stack we could get, you know? We'd have about 50-some pieces of bread stacked up in the big old pyramid. Anyway, in the back room, they had an arcade. And one of the arcade games I loved. Tell me if you ever played this game right here. Huh? Anybody ever play that game? Pole position. That was the coolest game of the time. I mean, it was so cool. You had a steering wheel, and you had the gas pedal and a brake, and you felt like you were driving. I mean, you're like 8, 9, 10 years old, you know, and you could even shift it and everything. It was so cool. And the thing about that is that, you know, it has the big start line, right? The big start line. And on this one, it goes red, red, then green. And when you see green, you think what? Go or start. And so when you see green, you say start. Now in 2020, this might have been the color we saw. Now when you see red, you think what? Stop. Man, it was like, you know, in March 2020, it was like we were just riding along. Life was going great and everything was, yeah, yay. And then all of a sudden, brakes got slammed on and everything just stopped. Then in 2021, it kind of seemed like we moved to yellow. Now, what's yellow mean? It means caution. It don't mean speed up through the red light. That's what I mean. It does mean caution. It means caution. It seemed like 2021, that was really where we were all year. Proceed, but with caution, right? We had maybe one window of a couple of weeks in July where we thought, let's all go. Then it was quickly, you know. But it seemed like all through 2021, it was like, okay, let's get back to normal, but it's not really normal. Let's get back to normal. It's not really normal. And I'm saying that in 2022, it's time to see the green dot and let's go. Let's start. We got to get things done. Amen. We got to get back going to where we were. It's time to hit the start button. It's time to say, God, I'm ready to do whatever you call me to do. It's time to start getting back to the way it was. It's time to begin seeking God with all of our heart and saying, God, you want to use the church? Use this church. You want to use the people? Use this people. You want to use someone? Use me. It's time for us to each see ourselves as standing in the middle of a green dot and saying, Lord, start with me. If anyone else, start with me. How many of y'all can say, Lord, start with me. Start with me. We want to start this year. We want to start with God. Now, there are some things about this text that I think is extremely important for us to understand and to see. That in verse 6, it says, this Ezra, the purpose of the genealogy there in the first 5 verses was to show and connect that Ezra had a lineage line to Aaron, who was the first high priest. Okay, so Ezra is a priest, and he's a scribe, as we said. And it says that he was a scribe who was skilled in the law of Moses. Now, if you have your Bible out, I would underline that, the law of Moses. That is the word of God. That is the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Old Testament, the law of Moses. This would have been the scripture that they held to as authoritative of God's word. And the king was not a God-fearing king. He was a pagan king, but the king gave him favor. As chapters 1-6 of Ezra is about going back to Jerusalem from the siege of Babylon to rebuild the temple that was destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? In chapter 1-6. And then before chapter 7, see, we just read 1-6, then we read on to 7. But there's a 58-year gap between chapter 6 and chapter 7. A new king comes in, and this king has a favor for Ezra. And the text gives us the reason why. It says, because the good hand of the Lord was what? On him. How many of you all realize that it doesn't matter what your situation may be, if God's hand is on you, that's all you need. The good hand of God was on him. That's the favor of God, the blessing of God, the protection of God. God shielding you, God leading you, God opening doors for you, God being there. The good hand of his God was on him. And then we go to verse 9, for on the first day of the first month, this was his journey back to Jerusalem, he began to go up to Babylonia. And on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem. He arrives in Jerusalem, for the good hand of his God was what? On him. The good hand of his God was on him. It gave him favor even in a pagan empire. Some of you might think, man, I work in the middle of a pagan company. Like I don't, my company is not Christian. There's not a lot of Christians around me. But do you know that God's hand can still be upon you no matter where you work, no matter where you live, no matter where you are? God's hand can protect you. And God protected Ezra. God shown favor to Ezra. And then in verse 10, it says 4. Now, some interpreters interpret this differently. They don't connect these two, but many do. And I think this is a good connection point, because we say, okay, so how does one have the hand of God upon their life? What was there anything about Ezra that he did that granted God's favor? And it says for, because of. So the good hand of his Lord was upon him for, or because Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. For, because. There's 5 actions we must start. Are you ready? Now, you can use your green dot as notes if you want to, or you can save the green dot for goals that you are going to set for yourself, okay? So feel free to write on it now, and we'll write on it later. But I'm going to give you 5 actions that we must start for God's good hand to be on us. Are you ready? How many of y'all ready to start? Say, I got to start. Got to start. Number one, the first action is we must set our heart to seek God. We must make up our mind. It's not a matter of wishful thinking. It's not a matter of saying, I want to grow closer to Jesus. There's got to be something that changes in our will to where we say, no, I have said it time and time again that I want to grow closer to the Lord, but I've started, but I've never finished. There's been, I want more of God. I want to experience more of his presence. I want to be more in tune with the Spirit. I want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit more this year than I have before. Maybe you've said that before. Maybe you thought that. You think, that's what I want to do. But now is the time. It's 2022. You can't go back and relive another year. You can start now and say, okay, now is the time that I want to truly seek God with all of my heart. And you have got to determine that in your will and commit to doing it. It does you no good to want to lose weight if you don't what? Do it. Have the commitment to finish it. It does you no good to have ideas and thoughts and dreams if you don't set your mind to follow through. But you've got to start. You have to decide to start. If you want to grow closer to the Lord, there has to be a moment when you say, it's got to start now. Got to start. Ezra set his heart. You know what he did? He started. He started to seek God with everything. He set his heart. It was a whole mindset, a whole way of living that he was going to seek God. He set his heart to study the law of the Lord. To study the law of the Lord. Now in verse 6, it says he was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses. The law of Moses is the law of the Lord. Notice Ezra's high view of Scripture. Ezra saw the law of Moses as the law of the Lord, who gave Moses the words. The Lord. Our Bible is a Bible inspired by who? God. How you view Scripture matters. Is the Bible God's word or is it not? Is it inspired by God or is it just made up by men? You see, your view of Scripture matters. It matters on how serious you take it. And how important it becomes to you. If these are just man's thoughts, then there's not a lot of reason to really get behind it, is it? Is there? I mean, what would make this any different than any other book if it's just man's ideas? But if these are God's words, if the law of Moses is the law of the Lord, and if it's the Gospels is the words of the Lord, then it makes all the difference in the world, does it not? Now it's God's word. And so how you view Scripture matters. So we must, number one, we must set our heart, decide to start to seek God with all of our heart. Number two, we must hear from God. Hear from God. And how are you going to hear from God? By reading his word. That's why we're doing 16 weeks through the New Testament. That begins tomorrow, by the way. So if you're like, oh, I forgot to read. You haven't missed it yet. Monday starts the day. There's a reading plan right there at the water source that will take you, give you a 5-day reading plan, Monday through Friday. You say, well, what about Saturday? Well, Saturday are for those of you who like to binge read. It's a way you can read them all in one day that way, okay? And the goal is that we are going to spend time in his word so that we hear from God. How many of y'all believe that when you read Scripture, you hear from heaven? You hear from God. You hear from him. Now, it's going to be a journey. It's 16 weeks. We want to finish that thing, but we got to start it. And before you can finish anything, you got to what? You got to start. You got to start. It's a long journey. But do you know how long of a journey it was to go from Babylon to Jerusalem? You say, oh, 16 weeks. You mean we're going to read the entire New Testament in 16 weeks? Woo, that seems hard, Pastor. All right. Here's what they had to do to get back to Jerusalem. You ready? They had to travel 900 miles. Now, I did a little Google Drive thing on that, and it's trying to figure out what would that look like to us. That'd be like us traveling just beyond Tampa, Florida. Took them 4 months. It was a 4-month journey of them walking, riding. Now, which one would you rather do? Walk 900 miles on foot or camel or donkey, or sit in your comfortable house, in your chair, wherever it may be, and read the Bible? We can do it, church. Amen? We can do it. We can read through the New Testament in 16 weeks. What do you think? How many of y'all think we can finish this thing? Huh? We can start it and we can finish it. We're going to read it through in 16 weeks. Now we also will have the app made available, and the app will have the reading plan for you. You can read it on your phone, or you can also hit the play button and have it read to you, and you can listen. to the Word of God. Okay? So you can also do it that way. And so we want to get in the Word of God because we want to hear from Him. We want to hear God's work. Amen? Pursuing God requires perseverance. When you read your Bible, there may be days when you're like, I don't know if I'm getting anything out of it. So is that when you close the book and say, I'm done? Huh? No. You keep reading. You keep reading. And the Holy Spirit, He will speak. Amen? He will speak. So I want to encourage you to take that challenge to heart, to set your heart to do it, to hear from God through reading Scripture. And we have a Facebook group out there, the 16 Weeks group. Join that. I'll be putting links out there that will help you in this journey. And we'll be discussing and praying for one another. And it'll be a way for us to encourage each other. So if you haven't joined that group, you can do so. Amen. Number three. It's not in our text, but I know it's all through Scripture, so I'm going to add it in there anyway. You ready? Not only do we need to hear from God, we need to speak to God. That's called prayer. We need to be praying. No doubt Ezra was a man of prayer. He was a priest. I don't know how you study God's Word without having prayer as part of it. Praying to God. Spending time petitioning God, confessing before God, repenting before God, magnifying the Lord, praying to Him. God, you are the creator of all. Lord, I come to you and I acknowledge your holiness, your goodness, your greatness. You're everywhere present. You're all-knowing. Lord, forgive me for my sins, for the things where I've fallen short. Lord, I just ask that you would speak to my heart today. Lord, show me something in your word as I read it that can impact and change my life so that I can be more like Jesus. Amen. One of the goals that I have for our church is not only just to read through the New Testament together this year, but we need to be more of a praying church. Okay? We attempted to add that a little bit last year. We had some prayer services. We only had about 50 show up for that on a few Wednesdays. Prayer at the altar. I want to just go ahead and encourage everyone, you can pray at the altar. And that doesn't mean you've had a bad week. Okay? Let's all agree that when somebody comes to the altar, no one gets to look at them and judge them and think, I wonder what they did this weekend. All right, let's learn that the altar, that the time up here during invitation is a time of prayer where we can come and just praise the Lord. We can give thanks for God. Maybe there is something that's burdened on our heart that we're going through. Maybe we need somebody to pray for us. Maybe you're going through a sickness. You're going through a struggle, and you say, Pastor, I just need you to pray for me. Would you just pray over me? We want to see more of that happen. So this is a time to pray. How great would it be if we got the courage and the strength just to pray for someone when we're out in public and we feel like that we need to pray for them? I'll never forget my meeting with a gentleman at Walmart, and it was like it was a divine appointment, and he just started sharing his marital problems. And we just stopped right there, and I prayed for him. We had a prayer service right there in the aisle of Walmart. We can pray with people anywhere. When they open up the hospitals and let us back in, we can go and pray for people who are in the hospitals. Start a prayer ministry that way. The nursing homes. How else can God begin to stir us to be men and women of prayer? We got to start. And it starts in your prayer closet. That's where it starts. You'll never pray in public. You'll never pray over someone. You'll never come and pray if you haven't developed first that true intimacy with God in your own prayer closet. Do you have an altar at home? Do you have a special place at home? Do you have a place where you can pray? Maybe it's in your car. Maybe it's out on your farm. Maybe it's in your tractor. Maybe it's in a closet in your room. Maybe it's in the garage. I don't know, but there's some place somewhere maybe that's special that you can get along alone and turn the cell phone off and just pray to God. Why? Because we need to hear from God. We need to hear from God and we need to speak to God. He wants to hear from us. We need to pour out our hearts to God. He's the great counselor. Let's go to Him. You're struggling, depressed, anxious, worried, full of joy, thankfulness. Talk to the Lord, amen? Got to start. Number four action, fourth action. Now let's go back to our text. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to what? Do it or obey it. Do it and to do it. Not only do we need to hear from God and speak to God, we need to walk with God. We need to walk with God. We need to do what the Bible says to do. Now, when we read through the New Testament and we're hearing and seeing what Jesus does and what he teaches us to do and then what the epistles tell us how to live, and we're given information about how we're to act and behave and think and all of these things and live our lives, it does us no good if we just know it and don't what? Do it. You have to obey it. It does you no good to know that you're supposed to forgive someone if you what? Don't forgive someone. It does you no good to, you read through your Bible, when the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Hello, we need that in our culture today, amen? I think that's the number one that we all ought to focus on this year. I think our culture ought to focus on this one fruit of the Spirit this year, and that is self-control. That is a fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Oh, I can't help myself. That's just me. That's just who I am. That's just how I was born. If we think like that, we will allow ourselves to do all kinds of nasty things and act crazy. Self-control. Controlling oneself. Saying, God, this is how you've told us to live. This is how you've decreed it. And I love your law. I love the law of the Lord. I love your word. I believe it's true. I believe it's the words from heaven. I believe it's God speaking to us. And Lord, if that's what you say, even though I may struggle with it, and even though, man, I have a hard time with it, and even though my flesh doesn't want to do it, I yield to you because this is your word, and I want to obey you. Obedience with emphasis. Obedience. Do it. Obey it. We're not reading the Bible to answer and to win Bible bowl. Right? There's not a Bible Jeopardy show that we're going to try to make a lot of money off of. We read Scripture to hear from God so that we can know how our life is to be pleasing to Him, and then we what? Do it or obey it. I got to start. What do I do when I come to Scripture and I don't like what it says. And it points out a sin in my life. Do I skip over it? Or do I shut the book and say, oh, done reading. God's just done went to meddling. Right? Do you say, God, you're right, I'm wrong. I need to die to my flesh to live for you. Huh? Do you submit and obey? That's where we're at, right? That's what Ezra, not only did he read it and set his heart to seek God, he was committed to doing it, obeying God's word. We got to obey it. Fifth and final action, you ready? It says, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to what? Do it. And to what? Teach his statutes and rules in Israel. And to teach it to others. Not only do we need to hear from God and speak to God and walk with God, we need to speak of God. We need to witness. We need to teach others. We need to share our faith. We need to have gospel conversations with people. We need to begin speaking about the Lord Jesus with others. How many people could we do that with this year in 2022? Who are those around you that you know do not have a relationship with the Lord? They don't go to church anywhere. They're not thinking about spiritual things. Start there. How am I going to be a witness to someone? Got to start. How am I going to invite somebody to church? Just got to start. And how do you do that? Hey, would you go to church with me? Is that difficult? This is one of the basic ways. This is why I call this almost like pre-evangelism. It's just inviting people to come to church. Now, we live in Kentucky. That's not a weird question to ask someone, is it? I mean, have any of y'all ever asked somebody to go to church and had this response? Church? What kind of crazy question is that? No. Now, you may have had somebody say, nah, I'm not really into the church thing. That's okay. You keep praying for them. But you invite them to church. Hey, have you ever thought about what happens when someone dies? Have you ever asked that question with anybody? Hey, tell me your thoughts on who you think Jesus is. It is always great to open up with a question and just let them talk. And you what? Listen. Just listen for a while and hear where they're at. But we got to have some gospel conversations. We got to start talking to people about faith. Okay? While we still can legally. I read all over and up in Canada, our northern neighbors, and over there in Europe, you're already seeing instances where laws are starting to be created where they're trying to call you know, evangelism, hate speech, or, you know, you're trying to convert people. Ooh, that's awful. So right now in America, in 2022, you have the ability and the freedom to share your faith with as many people as possible. So guess what? We better start. We got to start. So I wonder how many people that we can talk to about our faith. Now, as I wrap up, I told you that there was a 58-year gap between chapters 6 and 7. And chapters 1 through 6, it's about them going back to rebuild the temple. When the first opening to go back to rebuild the temple, there was around anywhere from 2, they estimate even maybe 3 million Jews who were living in Babylon at that time that had been captured. And when the opportunity to go back and rebuild, yeah, it was a long trip, 900 miles. And yeah, it was going to be a lot of work because the temple had been destroyed. Out of the 2 to 3 million people who had the opportunity to go back, how many do you think went? Right under 50,000 people. That's it. Out of 2 to 3 million people. Right under 50,000 only chose to go back to rebuild. You know what that tells me? God doesn't need the masses, he just needs a few. My desire is that every single person in Living Water Church would really take this year serious and seek God with all their heart, hear from God, speak to God, walk with God, and speak of God. But he can just use it. He just needs a few. In chapter 7, when Ezra comes back, he makes a spiritual reform. That spiritual reform was because people had, they'd begin intermarrying with pagan nations, worshiping false gods. And out of the remaining 2 million or so that was still there, only 2,000 went back with Ezra. Many of the Hebrew people missed out on what God was doing. I don't want to miss what God's doing. I want to be right in there. So wherever he tells me to go, that's where I want to go. Whatever he tells me to do, that's what I want to do. Whatever he wants me to say, that's what I want to say. I want to be right in the thick of the action of what God's doing. I don't care how hard it might be. I don't care how difficult it might be. I want to follow God all the way. I want to go all the way. Now, these little dots are what I was told in college when we did this, and it's called prayer dots. And they encouraged us to take a little sticker. And at that time, we all didn't have cell phones. And they said, put it in the middle of your watch so that every time you look at your watch, you see that dot, and it serves as a reminder of the commitment that you've made. Now, on the big green dot, I wonder how many of you would write down some things. My 16-week journey through the New Testament. Committed to praying with God in the quiet time. Committing to try to apply one of biblical truth at least minimum once a week. I want to actively try to engage somehow, some way of living this out. Of speaking to at least 2 people a month. I don't know, I'm just throwing something out there. About faith. And during this altar time, if you feel so led, you want to grab one of these dots. And you can put it on your cell phone. Put mine right there. So that every time you look at your phone, oh, there's my reminder. It's before me. Have I spent time in praying? Have I read my scripture? Am I praying for the people that I need to know the Lord? Have I had a gospel conversation? We got to start, and we got to start now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus.